go ahead. Ooh.
Sorry. All right, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. We're going to go ahead and open up with one hymn for our Friday night discipleship class. With that said, if you can do us a favor, let's go ahead and turn together now in our red hymns to hymn 49. We're going to go ahead and sing Nothing But the Blood. Amen. Nothing But the Blood. Sorry, guys, as I try to get everything worked out here for our online audio. All right, let me go ahead and lower that a little bit more. Okay. All right, church, watch out. All righty. Hymn 43, Nothing But the Blood. On the one, church. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
On the third.
Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Woe, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Woe, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right, church. Welcome back to our Friday night discipleship class, Simple Faith Baptist, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to go ahead and get started, my friend. And with that said, we were surprised with a birthday from our very own dear friend, Sister Jasmine. Someone's been MIA, amen. So that's okay. She's back. We would have had a little Tres Leches from El Super, amen, Simple Faith Baptist body style. So let's go ahead and sing happy birthday on the count of three. One, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jasmine. Happy birthday to you. Hey, man. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, guys. We just want to welcome you guys back here for our Friday night discipleship class. If you don't have the study book material, don't worry, guys. You have the best book. That's the Holy Bible. And so we encourage you to have a Bible with you and try to bring it back to church whenever you can, when you can, so you guys can follow along. So before we get started, as usual, guys, just some quick announcements. Tomorrow, don't forget, soul winning as a part of our church. You guys should be familiar with this by now, guys. Our calendar tab, we make the announcements weekly. I'm not going to point any fingers to a certain someone, amen, that tends to forget, amen. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, right here, calendar tab. Just look at the calendar tab, my friend, and the past 3 years that we've been doing this. Okay, so tomorrow, 10 o'clock in the morning, we're going to meet here. We pray. If you guys come, just let us know. We'll have some breakfast for you guys. Y'all already love them Winko bagels. And so just come on by. 10 o'clock, we'll get started. And we'll just go door knocking for about an hour and a half or two around some new neighborhoods tomorrow. Take a quick break and then go downtown to the beach. And then we'll wrap it up by about 2 o'clock. And we sure could appreciate more of our members helping us out and winning souls. And we will do a quick announcement fellowship for yesterday's soul winning. So if you guys can bear with me as I pull that up now, give me 1 second. I just want to give praise where praise is due for those who were laboring with us yesterday. So this was an awesome time we had yesterday in our soul winning outreach. I just want to give praise to God for the faithfulness of Sister Katie and Sister Eileen. Amen. It was a blessed time that they had in laboring for the Lord. And so look at that awesome picture right there, Sister Eileen. That was a blessing. So you just gave that girl a tract, and she's reading it. Amen. So that's a blessing. And these are just some other pictures of what it looked like yesterday for the outreach. And there's Brother Carlos holding it down. And then there's just a lot of other people walking, if you will. And there's Sister Eileen. Amen. So Sister Eileen's new nickname is Eileen the Ninja. Amen. She's a quick one to evangelize. She hands out tracts, bam, like this. Like she's throwing out them darts. Amen. So it is a blessing. And so I just want to thank God for those of you that are making an effort to put in work for your Lord. And just remember that anything you do for Jesus Christ with a sincere heart, God is going to reward you one day up there. We might not see the immediate benefit down here, and that's why it's a work of love. It's a labor of love. It's not necessarily a lifestyle. It is a obedient choice that you make to say, okay, God, you mean way more much to me than my free time, and I just want to use it now to glorify you, to go tell somebody about Jesus. So let's pray for all those souls tonight as well as we get started, that the Lord will save souls and that the seed was planted. We passed out like almost all of our tracts, and that was awesome. Yesterday was just seed planting, right? And we really didn't have a lot of one-on-ones, even though we were looking for some, and Eileen was following somebody to the parking lot. No, I'm just kidding. But she almost had one conversation, but the boy left. Peer pressure, guys. That's how it is. As you guys know, when the young kids are going out there, there's like that one cool guy, and then the other youngster are trying to be cool. But that was awesome. He was almost there. So let's pray for that young boy. But it was a blessing. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. So keep our church in prayer. Tomorrow, God willing, we can have another opportunity to do that, and then Sunday church service. Amen. So those are the quick announcements. Study blogs, you guys can go ahead and download, if you will, or look up these little cool articles that I make to help edify your faith. And you guys can look those up anytime. They're on our church website. Livestream links, you guys already know. Facebook, if you're not already subscribed, please like and share, follow. YouTube, if you're not already subscribed, please like, share, and follow. Need prayer? Again, friend, that is the most important announcement that we can make here at church. Please do me a favor and submit your prayer request right there. And we would love to be in prayer with you and in prayer for you. And then last but not least, guys, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, you can give anytime, if you will, of your finances, whenever you want, between you and God. And you all already know, there's a box back there online. We'll just leave it at that. And one more quick announcement. Our friends next door are having their service as well. So you guys have been with us now through all these times. Please try our best to just, you know, stay focused, and let's just pray for them that they have a good time in the Lord. Amen. They're already getting started. Amen. And so we love our neighbors. So with that said, let's just enjoy the time that we have, and let's try our best to focus. My wife tried her best to put some sound dampening material. Professional. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the noodles, but that's what we're using right now for sound dampening noodles down there. All right, my friends. So with that said, before we get started with tonight's material, I'd like to ask your attention to the screen. And just to kindly remind you, church, as it pertains to as it pertains to tradition. And as you guys know, a lot of churches right now are gathering for a church service that they call, quote unquote, what? Good Friday. And if you guys have been with us for any length of time, you should know by now that our church, we try our best to remain biblical and free, if you will, from traditions as much as we can, even though it's not a guarantee that we will have everything 100% to the T, where we can clearly identify an error, if you will, or a tradition. We just want to be able to have the opportunity to identify it, call it out, and then show you from the Bible why it is that we choose not to, if you will, do certain things. And other than that, we just want to encourage you this evening to look up now and study with us as we try our best to do that now. Amen. So bear with me as I try to get some things going. Just bear with me 1 second. I'm going to try to get this going here. I don't know why this is not working. Bear with me, guys, as I try my best to work through these things here. Okay, that's not working. All righty. Yeah, forbear with me, guys. I'm just trying to pull something up. I just got to go through this email thing here. Give me 1 second. All right, there we go. Got that. Oh, I didn't upload it. No wonder. Okay. Okay, guys, so would you do me a favor and just look up to the screen and love? We're going to go over this quick teaching, and then we will get started with our material this evening for our Friday night discipleship class. I just have to quickly email myself something, guys. So like I said, I apologize. Just bear with me as I try to get this uploaded to my to where I need it to be uploaded. I apologize. All right. Oh. Save. Maybe that's going to be going. Okay. All right, guys. So one more time, friendly announcement. Why is it that if you guys have been with us, we are very adamant and zealous for Bible doctrine. As you guys know, we try our best to show you Scripture. We try our best to lead you scripturally, and we try our best to point out traditions where there might be errors in a Christian's conduct and our practice that has nothing necessarily to do with the gospel record of Jesus Christ. And although we might have liberties to do certain things, remember, not everything edifies. Not everything is going to help promote the cause of Christ. And so with that said, let Brother Carlos remind you one more time in love why it is that we try our best to remain as biblically focused as we can. And we want to let you have the liberty to have traditions, if you will, at home. But at here at our church assembly, we want Jesus Christ to always have the attention. And so when any other church does certain things, if you will, traditionally, and this coming weekend, you're going to hear about the Easter eggs. Perhaps some of your family members are already celebrating with Easter eggs. Perhaps some of you have already done Easter egg hunting at school. Nevertheless, we know that that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And I taught you guys that on a Sunday school. So now bear with me as we go over this schedule real quick. And a friendly reminder, our friends next door are having a church service. So if you do need to use the restroom, try your best to just go around. And if not, just hold it and you'll be all right. Okay. All right, so real quick, guys, if you guys can do me a favor, just look up to the screen. This is a photo from Brother Ed that he made, and we're just going to quickly go over this here this evening. So why don't we, if you will, celebrate what they call, quote-unquote, Good Friday? Because it is generally recognized that you had to go around, Katie. Go ahead. So it's generally recognized that that Jesus was crucified on Friday. A lot of you guys have heard about that. And if you grew up in a Catholic church, perhaps you guys remember that too, that they would celebrate these things. But not just Catholics, even general Christians, they all celebrate this thing called Good Friday. And it's assumed, unfortunately, because of ignorant teaching, that Jesus died on the Good Friday. But that's not the case. So look up to this picture, if you will, and this is going to instruct you. And if any of you want this file, I'll text it to you or I'll email it to you, and then we'll move on with our study this evening. So how many days and nights was Jesus Christ dead for? 3 days and three nights. So if he was supposed to rise early, early Sunday morning, but to the Jewish calendar, which would be the end of Sabbath, which would be the end of their Saturday, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., then let's kind of count backwards, if you will. So let's do that together. So Sunday, one more day before that is what? Saturday. One more day before that is? And one more day before that is Thursday. So on our Gentile calendar, that's how we would look at it. But remember, we're not going off the Gentile calendar. We're going off the Hebrew calendar because that's how the Bible is identifying the timing. And so 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ proclaimed and prophesied that he would be in the heart of the earth. He would be dead, if you will, and his body would be buried, but his soul clearly would still be alive. We know that. But in regards to the crucifixion, it would be according to the day of Nisan, the 14th, which is the day of the Passover. That is the Hebrew month there, the Hebrew month called Nisan, on the 14th day. So when you guys do your studies and your research, you guys can go through all the notes here. Just remember that the Hebrew night, you're going to see in your Bible identified as the first hour, the second hour, the third hour. And then Brother Ed went ahead and put that in there as it pertains to the Gentile timing. The first hour for the Hebrew night would be 7 o'clock p.m. for the Roman time. And so this is a really good guide to go when you're reading your Bible. Sometimes there are going to be quotes like at the third hour or something like this. So for example, in Mark 15:25, Jesus was crucified at the third hour. Well, when you look at the calendar, if you will, and also the translation of what that means for Gentile time, that was around 9 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday. Sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the whole earth. That's from 12 to 3 p.m. And then Jesus died around the ninth hour, which was around 3 p.m., and they had to bury his body before the Hebrew next day begins, which is that 6 p.m., if you will, that sunset. So he's placed in the tomb. So right there begins the three-day and three-night. And so now when you go from that time, 6 p.m. to the following 6 p.m., that's 1. 6 p.m. to the following 6 p.m., that's 2. And then the following that third, 6 p.m. to the third, 6 p.m., that Nisan, the 17th day, which we would call in our Gentile calendar, it would be Sunday morning. But to the Jewish calendar, it'll still be the beginning, if you will, of the day, the first day of the week, the end of their Sabbath, which would be the end of Saturday. He rose from the dead. So again, biblically speaking, there is no such thing as Good Friday as it pertains to the brethren, how they want to honor the tradition. Jesus Christ was not crucified on a Friday. He was crucified on what we would identify as the Wednesday, but according to the Hebrew calendar, Nisan, the 14th day. So that's the only way that you could biblically and accurately read the Bible and then rightly divide it for the proper teaching for 3 days and three nights. Is it a big deal if churches celebrate Good Friday? Absolutely not. It's not a big deal. Is it incorrect? Yes, it is. Is it ignorant? In my opinion, I think it is. If you want to learn truth, then you got to receive truth. If you want to learn Bible doctrine, then you got to receive Bible doctrine. And so tonight, that's what I hope to continue to encourage you to do, is to have an open heart to the Word of God, because it's the Bible that's going to change you, and it's learning more truth that is going to strengthen you to be more confident in what you believe to the Bible to teach. Amen? All right. So with that said, before we get started with our material this evening, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 1, Acts, the first chapter. And I'm going to go over these notes quickly to talk about the witnesses of the New Testament concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go ahead and teach you guys that now. So bear with me as I look up my notes here. So let's go ahead and look this up together. Acts chapter number 1, we're going to go over these notes quickly as it pertains to the historical record of the disciples of Jesus Christ, who were also his apostles, and their converts bearing witness to the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's the big deal, because why would these men literally die for their faith? Because they believe the man whom they'd followed for those years died, and they believe the man whom they followed rose again from the dead the third day. And so let's just quickly go over these notes together. And if that's not large enough, just let me know and I'll make it a little bit bigger, okay? Let's go over these notes quickly, and that way we'll learn this to get this material together. So now allow me, guys, to pull this up. Here we go. So New Testament synopsis of the historical record of the disciples. So remember, in the book of Acts, let's go there quickly to chapter 1, verse 8. If you guys have your Bible open, let's go ahead and open up with a quick word of prayer. Lord God, I thank you for allowing us to come together on a Friday night. Lord, it sure is a blessing to see the souls that are represented here and their family members. Lord, we do thank you for Sister Jasmine, God, and allowing her to wake up another day and allowing it to make to the age of 15. God, I pray that you would bless Jasmine, God, and I pray that you would continue to open up her heart to Jesus Christ and everything he did for her on that cross, so the rest of her life Lord, she would do her best to serve him, God, with her whole heart. And likewise, for every single one of us here tonight, help us to have a heart for Jesus Christ, no matter how we came in through those doors. Help us to remove distractions from ourselves. Help us not to fidget. Help us not to be distracted with cell phones and what we're going to do later on tonight. Help us just to give our minds to you for these next 30 minutes or so we can learn more Bible, and that, God, it'll compel us to do more for you this evening and for the rest of our life. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of earth." Go down with me later on to verse number 22 in Acts chapter 1. Peter, remember, he was one of the 12 original apostles. The Bible says that he claimed, along with the disciples and others, that they were eyewitnesses of the physical resurrection of Jesus. If you read with me in verse 22, when they were consulting to replace Judas, because remember, he hung himself, they wanted to replace his part of the apostolic ministry. And so they said the requirements to be an apostle with them in the ministry is somebody had to have been alive to be a disciple and or a participant in John's baptism. Remember John the Baptist? And here's what he said there. "Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." So somebody to fill Judas's spot had to have been alive when John the Baptist was preaching and had to have been alive to witness the resurrection of Christ. Later on, you're going to read in chapter 2. So turn your Bible there to Acts chapter 2 and read with me in verse number 32. Peter, with the other 120 disciples that were empowered with the Holy Ghost in Acts 1:15, they boldly proclaim what they witnessed, which was the resurrection. Look at what it says in Acts 2:32. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." You see there? And then in chapter 3 of Acts, verse number 15, the Bible says, when he is proclaiming this to the fellow Jews there, "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." We are witnesses. So I just want to give you these verses to quickly share with you the reason why our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ stands, and the reason why we can have confidence that every other religion is false and wrong and is going to lead people to a place called hell, is because the man who taught these people, the man who discipled them for 3.5 years, the man who was recorded of doing good for the people. He was healing the blind. He was raising the dead. He was feeding men and women and their children. He was doing so many good things. This man prophesied of his betrayal. This man prophesied of his death. And this man prophesied of his resurrection. And the Bible says how they were all eyewitnesses of that. And if they were willing to proclaim that at that time in history, they would all eventually die because of persecution. And so the reason why we can logically, if you will, be willing to accept the Bible as the final authority is because these men were willing to die for being an eyewitness of this man who rose from the dead. And so if the resurrection can be validated and true, everything else in your Bible is absolutely true. That God created the heaven and the earth. Remember that back in Genesis. He created man in his image back there in Genesis. He created man with a free will choice. And we know the following story, right? Adam sinned, unfortunately, and then sin passed upon all of us, and that's why we do evil. And we can believe now the promise that whoever believes in his son, Jesus Christ, we also can receive forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. Before we close with these notes and get to our material, do me a favor and go to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John 5, and I'll leave you with these notes, and then we'll maybe pick it up for Sunday school, Lord willing. Turn your Bible with me to 1 John chapter number 5. And as you make your way there, it's going to be towards the right-hand side of your Bible. We can read together in verse number 2. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 2. "John was one of the apostles, and he bare record to the literal birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And John declared that he was the eternal God made flesh to take away the sins of the world. And this is the whole record and purpose of the person of Christ, for which they would eventually suffer and die as martyrs." So look with me now in your Bible, 1 John chapter 1. Again, it's towards the right-hand side of your Bible. It's a little letter. And it says in verse number 2, here's what he said. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us."
So John was one of those disciples of Christ. He was one of those men that ate with Jesus. He was one of those men that served Jesus. He was one of those men that went and preached on his behalf. And he was one of those men that saw Jesus transfigured on the mount there. He saw Jesus do these miraculous things. He saw Jesus die on the cross, and he saw him risen from the dead. So what does John the Apostle tell you? Because what is he writing to you, Christian, here tonight? He's telling you, I have seen that eternal life that was with God, you know, in heaven, and it came down to us. Jesus Christ is that eternal life manifested. So I'm telling you, that's true. So for those of you here tonight, it doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're old, you can trust the record of John the Apostle that what he is writing to you is true. So now go with me to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to finish with these notes. Just go a couple of pages to the right there in your New Testament. Here's what he tells us starting in verse number 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and the blood. And the Bible says there, in 1 John 5, number 6, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So what is John affirming to you? That man, Jesus of Nazareth, he was born a man. He was born just like you and I are born. Obviously, for his birth, it was a miraculous thing where God the Father put that, that body, prepared that body in the womb of Mary, and then the eternal Word simply inhabited that body at birth. But he was born just like you and I are naturally born. He became a man. And then go down with me to verse number 8 and 9 in your Bible, 1 John 5. And the Bible says here, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, notice what the Bible says here, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And so what is this witness? What is the witness that God is testifying to Jesus of Nazareth? What is the witness of the 12 disciples and eventually the replacement for Judas, those apostles in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2? What is the witness of all those men? And yes, later on we would know Paul would be a part of the gang there. What is their witness? That God sent his Son. He was born of the Virgin. He lived, if you will, a life as a man. And the Bible tells us very clearly that he died and he rose again from the dead. And if men trust in him, that is the record that God has given, this is the witness that God has given to all men. Here is God's testimony that we can have eternal life. So what is the conclusion to the witnesses of the original apostles? And then later we know Paul, others who beheld him prior to his ascension, like the 500 people that saw Christ physically in his resurrected body. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 15:6. But ultimately, what is God the Holy Spirit's testimony to this man? Let's read it together in our last verses here. 1 John chapter 5, you're still there. Read with me now, starting in verse number 10. The Bible says this, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness, where? In himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So every person right now alive on the planet who denies that Jesus Christ became flesh, who denies that the eternal Word of God became a man, and his name, his humanity name is Jesus, whoever denies the record that Jesus was born, he lived, was crucified, and rose from the dead, they are calling God a liar. It's very sad. They don't have to be religious. They don't have to be a Christian. They can be whatever other religion. They can be your family members and friends. Oh, I don't really believe that. Then you're calling God a liar. And that's really sad. But for those of you who don't, for those of you who by faith believe in what the Bible says, here is this man and here's why you need to trust him, God said you have the witness where? In you, in yourself. So now let's keep reading. This is the record that God hath given to us what? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very simple. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye what? Have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So what is God testifying to you tonight? Not only to Felipe, Maribel, Jasmine, Gibby, and Eileen. He is telling you when you are reading the Bible, this is God speaking to you. He's telling you you're not trusting a fable. You're not trusting an imaginary story like the Harry Potters and the Hollywood movies. You're not trusting something fancy made up like those comic gods, if you will, that are false. And obviously they don't, there's nothing real behind them. The statues and everything else that all the other religions worship. God is telling you tonight, no matter who you are, if you trust the record that he gave of his son, that he was born, that he lived, that he died for your sins, and that he rose again, here's what God testifies to you. That's my record of my son, and if you believe in him, I will give you eternal life. And if you doubt your salvation, God is reminding you, you don't have to doubt. What else did I remind you of? You know that you have eternal life. So that's good. So tonight, if there's anyone that is still doubting, if there's anyone that still might be wondering, how can I know, Brother Carlos, that Jesus truly is the only way to heaven? How can I know, Carlos, that if no one else believes in Jesus, they're going to go to hell? Because God gave a record of his son. Just like this, if I were to talk to Maribel or Eileen about a family member or a friend, how are they doing? And then you guys would say, well, they're doing okay. I have to trust your testimony of what you are telling me concerning someone that I don't know of the state of their being. If I asked you anything of your family members or your friends, if you will, you're going to give me a testimony of your day or, if you will, whatever you experienced. How was your day at school, Gibby? It went like this. I have to trust your witness because you were physically at your school. If I asked Jasmine how school was or how was work for Felipe, you guys were in that time and I wasn't there. I was absent, but I have to trust your witness because you were there. You were eyewitnesses of your environment, of your circumstance. You could tell me, Brother Carlos, I'm telling you, I was there. This is how my day went. So here's the record. These men were there. John, Paul, if you will, Peter, all those original apostles and disciples in Acts chapter 1. God supernaturally filled them with the Holy Spirit power so that way they can be bold. And yes, the miracles and signs and wonders would accompany them to give witness to the resurrection of Christ. But prior to that, Jesus appeared to them. For 40 days, Acts chapter 1 tells you, he appeared to them. He proved himself real because he ate food with the disciples. You can read that at the end of John's gospel in chapter number 21 and 20. He ate with them. He told them to touch my body. Look, here it is. Here's the holes. I'm going to eat with you. So now what is the record? What is the witness? What is the purpose for that? It's so that way you can know in the end of the day that your maker wants for you to know that you can have forgiveness of sins, and your maker wants for you to be reminded, if you doubt your salvation, it's okay. I'm letting you know that you have it right now. So some of you are working and your paycheck doesn't come until next week or next Friday. I'm telling you right now, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. Right now, we might not feel like we have eternal life. Right now, you may doubt because of your feelings, if you will, with this flesh of, man, but I still feel wicked, Brother Carlos. I know I'm not perfect. I know I make mistakes. Hey, you know what God said? I'm writing to you who believed on my son. Ye have right now eternal life because you trusted my record. You believe my testimony. So tonight, friend, no matter what you're feeling like, I am happy. I'm excited because the God that I believe in gave me his word found in the Bible. And if I trust him, I'm not going to call him a liar. I'm going to call him true. And here's what he tells me, Carlos, I'm letting you know the day you called on my son to save your soul, I gave you eternal life. And I'm reminding you right here in 1 John 5, you can know you have it right now. Isn't that good to be comforted? Amen. And so that's a blessing. So that's what I just wanted to encourage you with before we continue with our material. Amen. All right, guys. So with that said, let's go ahead and open up in our material study book. If you guys have your one book rightly divided, let's go ahead and pick up where we left off. For those of you who haven't been here in a while, we are just talking about the church. We're talking about when the church began. We're talking about who is the foundation for the New Testament church. We're talking about who aided, if you will, the foundation of the New Testament church. And we are letting the Bible teach us this evening and in our Friday past studies ago why that is important for us to allow the Bible to be our authority, because there is a right way and there's a wrong way to build off the foundation concerning the New Testament faith. Not only is Jesus Christ God, who died for our sin, was buried and rose again, that is the profession, that is the confession that makes you a Christian, but then learning how to be a Christian, learning how to walk as a Christian, learning how to live as a Christian, that is going to be based upon how you're taught from the rest of the Bible. And so as we were learning these past couple of Fridays, do me a favor, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 just to quickly catch some of you up here this evening, and we won't take too much of your time. We're going to end right on the dot, because we want to honor our friend here for the fellowship thereafter. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. And if Brother Carlos goes a little fast, don't be shy, y'all. We got the projector. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, I just want to quickly remind you of what we've been talking about and what we've been discussing concerning the foundation of the New Testament church and who assists Christians to be fully equipped, and that is built. I want you to imagine Brother Filippi knows about mechanics, and there's a frame to a car, right, brother? And then before you know it, they begin to add different parts. They add the tires. Eventually, they add the engine, and then that makes the car whole or complete. So you can't drive a car if there's no engine. You can't drive a car if there's no tires, but it's a part of a car. So once you get saved, there is other things that you need to learn and to grow so that way you can learn how to be a full and wholly complete Christian in your conduct. And so as we've been learning here, let's look at what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:20. The Bible says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So tonight, your faith is based upon the witness that God gave his son. Remember, we talked about that. He was born, he lived, he was crucified, he was buried, he rose again. That's the basis of the New Testament faith. You have to trust by faith the gospel of that man that God raised him from the dead. Okay, so you say, Brother Carlos, I did that. So now you're in and you've been made a part of this invisible body of believers called the church. It's a universal body of believers that are made up of all different Christians all around the earth. Some Christians are already up in heaven because obviously, guys, 2,000 years, people have been dying, amen? So some Christians are already up there in heaven, and then some of us are still down here on this earth. And so that's why we say there's a universal body of believers. So then as we all are learning now, we're going to a church, we're under a pastor, going forth through the Bible's discipleship. The way that we can be fully built, that is the framing of the building and making sure we get the studs in the right place and the nails in the right place and making sure we get the roof in the right place, making sure there's no holes here in your walk with God and your information, we need to build our faith upon the foundation of the apostles, plural, and prophets, plural. And so that's why, guys, we need the whole New Testament. We are not a Paul-only church. We're not a Peter-only church. We are apostles and prophets right there. So the safest thing that I can share with you is this Romans Revelation written to churches, the general historical account of the life of Christ, the Gospels, and then Acts is that transition between Jesus going back to heaven and then building the church. It's historical. That's how we've been teaching it. But there are some good nuggets in there for you to learn, but not everything is necessarily for you. That is, we're going to replicate everything that we read in Acts, like the supernatural stuff you read about. Amen. So right now, the safest way that you can go out is just knowing, I need to learn everything from the New Testament. I need to read what Paul wrote. I need to read what Peter wrote. I need to read what Jude wrote, and you'll be safe. Amen. You'll be built fully and worldly, if that makes sense. You're not going to be malnourished if you don't forsake all of the New Testament. Amen. So that's a quick summary. So let's read a couple of these pages, and then we'll close. Amen. Read with me now. If you have your study book open, we're on page number 610. And again, we are just discussing and talking about what we will be even going through, which is the building of the New Testament church upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So let's continue to pick up here in the material where we left off. Upon what are you built? 6:10. Upon what are you built? Let's go to Luke chapter 6. If you have your study book, the verse is already there, so there you go. But if you don't have your study book, you have your Bible, let's turn there together. Luke chapter 6, starting here together in verse number 47. Okay, the Bible says, oh, let's read Luke 6:46. One of my favorite. Can I get a popcorn? I'm on a popcorn. Brother Felipe. Go ahead, Brother Felipe. Ooh, ooh, amen. I'm saved, Brother Carlos, but I don't go to church. Ooh, why are you calling me Lord? I'm saved, Brother Carlos, but man, I am not giving. I'm not being faithful. I'm not loving my husband. I'm not loving my wife. I'm not honoring my parents. I'm not, but you're calling him Lord. Amen. That's good. That's good. Put that in your coffee cup right there. All right. Verse number 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So how many of you guys came to Jesus? How many of you guys believed on Jesus? And then how many of you guys have access to the words of Jesus? How many of you guys have a Bible? All right, so here's what Jesus, again, is going to describe someone like you if you do them. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake, the Bible says, for it was founded upon a rock. So Jesus is describing natural phenomena so that way you can understand the spiritual teaching he wants you to comprehend. Here you are. You came to Jesus. Somebody shared with you Christ. They led you through a prayer, and in your heart, you sincerely said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. I trust that you died for my sins, that you rose again. However you did that, you know you did that. Okay, so you're saved. So here's what Jesus says. The man is like, or in this case, obviously for you females, who keeps them now. You don't just stop at the prayer. You continue with reading and obeying. When life gets tough and you go through trials and you go through tribulations, here's what Jesus said is going to happen to you who are not only just hearing his words at church on YouTube, but you're keeping them. Notice what the Bible says. It's going to beat at your house. It's going to vehemently come upon the house. But what does it say? It cannot shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And so I want you to see now, Christians who are not just hearers only, but doers at the same time, notice how they don't really get rocked with life when life gets difficult or tough. Notice how they don't want to easily quit and give up. But notice the Christian who easily gives excuse on wanting to give up. Now listen, this is just the Bible. We're not calling nobody out. Look at verse number 49. But he that heareth, and listen what he said. Oh, Brother Felipe, popcorn somebody, verse 49. All right, sister, remember, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Wow. So there you go. Thank you, sister. Here's what Jesus said about someone who comes to him, someone who believes in him, someone who has access to his words, but doesn't do it. When life comes, the storm, the flood, the trial, the temptation, because you're not doing what he commanded you to do, no wonder why your house crumbles. No wonder why the house falls. Because you are not being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the word of God. So tonight, that is your only excuse. That's the synopsis, if you will. When you say, Brother Carlos, I went to the doctor, I'm feeling sick, here's what they said. When Brother Carlos is able to look into your life and say, hey, here's some things going on, I'm like a doctor. I'm looking at your profession, and then I'm just measuring it by how much you're keeping. I think we can fix that if you start doing this, brother, sister. I think you can fix this, sister, if you start doing this here. What am I doing? I'm prescribing to you spiritual medicine by verse and verse and verse and verse, just like a doctor would. I just find it funny, though. Some of y'all go to the doctor. Some of y'all go to the dentist. And you're willing to take the dentist at his word. You're willing to trust the doctor and say, because he's a doctor, Brother Carlos, you ain't no doctor. But I just have a spiritual gift. I'm a pastor. And our spiritual medicine, unlike what the doctor can do on the outside, you know, try to fix your face, try to put a Band-Aid on your scar there, if you will, try to fix Felipe's ingrown toenails, amen, whatever that looks like. Brother Carlos is this. He's trying to get on the inside with the word of God. Because on the outside, that's all they can do. They can't cause change on the inside. They can't cause healing on the inside. So no matter who you talk to, no matter what psychologist, no matter what sociologist, no matter your mama, your tia, your primo, your prima, your hermano, your hermana, no matter who you go to for quote-unquote advice or consejas, in the end of the day, you know what Jesus said? Here's why you keep falling. Because all you're doing is you're just hearing my word. You're not doing what I'm commanding you to do. And tonight, friend, I want you to strive your best to take notice to what your Savior taught. If you want to be like the man that built his house upon the rock, then lay the rest of the foundation on the rock of his word. Because here's what your Savior said. That stream, it's going to come. That flood, that challenge, that spiritual warfare, that temptation from the devil, and all those evil spirits out there, they're going to try their best to take you out and get you distracted from serving Christ. It's going to come. And it's going to come hard. Look at what it says, vehemently. But it's not going to shake, because God is going to protect you because you're keeping his word. But brethren and sisters, don't be surprised. I'm prophesying now. What am I doing? I'm just reminding you of the written, revealed word of God in verse number 49. If you are just brother listening and sister hearing only, and you're not doing it, no wonder why. When that thing comes again, you give up on God, you give up on church, you give up on the Bible, you give up on praying, because Christ already told you, you're not doing the Word of God. And so when that thing comes, you're going to fall and crumble. Can you get back up? Of course you can. Can you get restored? Absolutely. But the answer isn't necessarily in a confession. The answer is doing the Word of God. That's what he said. So don't just be sister listen only. Don't be just brother hear only. Be hearers and doers of the Word of God. Let's go now to the book of James. This is not on our notes. This is just Brother Carlos. I'm kind of pumped up and excited because I got some dinner tonight. Amen. That's pretty much why. Let's go to James chapter number. Do me a favor, church. Go with me to James chapter 1. And I'm going to go ahead and popcorn. Oh, Maribel, go ahead. Popcorn somebody. Go ahead. Eileen, verse number 22 of James 1. Por favor. Yes, ma'am. Woo! So, Sister Eileen, let me ask you a question. What did God just tell you to tell me if I just hear the word only and I don't do it? What is the consequence, or what am I doing to myself? That's easy. Look at that. Sister Eileen just ministered to me the word of God. She just taught me. She just prophesied into my life, brother and sister. Let me go ahead and ask Sister Maribel. Sister Maribel, what will be my problem if I'm just a hearer of the Word of God only? What does God say that I'm doing to myself? I'm deceiving myself. There you have it. See, it's not too hard, y'all. You know it's simple. But guys, we fight it because we have a flesh. We got a carne. Brother Carl's got a dark clay right here. Sam saying some of y'all have light clay, amen. But man, this thing, it just does not want to obey the Bible. But that's why, and some of you know this by now. I know that Sister Maribel knows this by now because we were ministering to each other weeks ago about the old man, the new man, right? You guys remember that doctrine? That's what that is. It's the old man. So remember, when you became a Christian, God supernaturally operated and he created within you a new nature. There is a new Maribel, there's a new Felipe, a new Eileen, a new Jasmine, a new Gibby, and there's a new Carlos in this body. There are two people living in the same room. Amen. Some of y'all, I know, some of y'all get tired of two people in the same room. But hey, I'm just telling you, it's in that body. So that's why every single day you got to do your best to say, Lord, strengthen me today to remain faithful to the Word of God. I don't want to be a hearer only. I want to be a doer of the Word of God. Okay, Sister Eileen, go ahead and popcorn somebody for verse number 23. Jasmine, go ahead, read verse number 23. Okay, all right. Verse number 24. Gordon Popcorn, somebody. Verse 24. All right. So here's what Sister Jasmine just said. She just read that the Bible describes somebody who just hears the Bible and doesn't do it. How many of y'all have a mirror at the house? Amen. Y'all got a mirror? Okay. When some of y'all wake up in the morning, y'all look a little cray-cray, amen? Jasmine's hair is all over the place. Maribel's hair is all over the place. Felipe's hair, amen, Gibby. Some of y'all, when you don't brush your teeth, they begin to get a little, you know, cake with some, what do you call that, plaque and all that stuff, amen? When y'all are not taking care of yourself, here's what God just kind of gave you a quick, simple analogy. When you just hear the Bible and you're not doing it, you're going to go up to it. It's a mirror. And you got all that crazy stuff going on in your life. But because you're not being a doer, say, nothing's wrong with me. It's okay for me to keep sitting here, doing this, being disobedient. Continue to penetrate you by being a doer of it. That's what God warned you about. So today, friend, what do we need to be as it pertains to how should we respond to the Word of God? We need to be hearers of it, and we need to be doers of it. So do me a favor, look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, All right, let's try that again. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I need you to listen, not just hear. I need you to do, not just hear, okay? There you go. Thank you for those of you. Okay, so before we close, what are you built upon? You do not want, we're on page 610 of your study notes. We're going to finish in 10 minutes. You do not want to go into a Presbyterian house. You do not want to get into a Catholic house. You do not want to get into a non-denominational house. You do not want to get into a Baptist house. You want to get into a house that is built on that rock. Do you know why? Because the floods are coming, Jesus said in Luke 6. They have been coming nonstop for 2 millennia, but the house stands. The house God built stands, and it is not because the walls are so high. It is because that foundation stone goes way down deep. Here's what Jesus said the church is built upon. Remember that? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16. Gibby, who are you going to popcorn, Gibby? Matthew 16. Let's try our best to focus. We're almost done, guys. Y'all can do this. Matthew 16. Who's next, Gibby? Felipe. Felipe, I want you to read verse 14 all the way through verse 16. Go ahead.
Some Elias and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God.
So, according to Jesus Christ, the church is built upon the profession that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, and he is the Son of the living God. Peter is not the rock. Peter's confession concerning Jesus being the Christ is the rock. The gates of hell have prevailed against one reformation after another, but the gates of hell have prevailed against one movement or another. The gates of hell have prevailed against one revival after another, yet they have never prevailed against the church built by God on Jesus Christ. Look at what it says there. In verse number 17 and 18, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, page 611, we're almost done. We better not get too excited about this man or that man or this preacher or that preacher, because they all die or fall, or get senile before they die. Yet the church rolls on. Jesus Christ is standing right there, that chief cornerstone. Those apostolic truths are standing right there, unshaken. So do not give your heart to a man. Do not give your heart to a movement. You need to get square on that foundation. Do you know what God did way back in time? The Father was with the Son and the Holy Ghost. He hypothetically said to the Son, this is what it's going to take. You're going to have to shed your blood and die to redeem fallen humanity. To the Holy Ghost, the Father said, and this is what it's going to take. You will need to live inside their sorry bodies and keep them sealed until the day of redemption. And again, the Father continued, when it's all done, I'll send you down, blow a trumpet, and we will bring them all up here and make them just like you. That's been God's plan. Again, brother monologues there from the authors. So for a little over 4,000 years, God the Father digged real deep, Luke 6:48, remember, the foundation on the rock. Finally, it was time for him to lay the foundation upon the rock. When Christ started building his church, he was certain he could finish the job. You can rest assured that our wise master builder will not fail. This church will be completed, it will be escorted into his presence, and it will be glorified and crowned and rewarded, and everyone will say, look at what he built. Praise the Lord. So before we close, let's go ahead and do one last verse, if you will, and we're going to finish. Do me a favor, come back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, and then we're going to close. Turn with me now to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to go to chapter 1 and then chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 1, and we're going to go to chapter number 2. Okay, if you guys have your Bible there in Ephesians chapter 1, let's go ahead and read together now, starting in verse number 12. Speaking of Christ, the Bible says here that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom he also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So after you heard the gospel and you trusted with all your heart who Jesus is, the record, remember, according to the Bible, God saved you. And when he saved you, he gave you and sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He will never leave. He will never forsake. Although you may ignore him, although you may be rebellious and disobedient, he's going to stay faithful. That's why he's your best friend, the Holy Ghost. All right, let's keep going down here. Verse number 22, speaking of God the Father and God the Son and what he would give him concerning his relation to the church and authority over it. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay, one more. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. You guys are there, hopefully, in the book of Ephesians. And let's read together, and we're going to finish here on this last chapter. Ephesians 2, let's read together, starting in verse number 4. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Don't forget that, Christian. You wouldn't have the gospel if it didn't start with God loving you. So don't give up on each other, amen. The Bible says, "When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." That is, he made you alive. By grace you are saved. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." So what do I want to end with? According to the Bible here in Ephesians 2, 5 through verse number 7, throughout eternity, you and I, and this is just brother monologue, so just bear with me, we're going to be like God's trophies. When the angels are walking around and saying, "Man, you made it here, you made it here." "Yeah, I made it here. I was this, I was that. But God's mercy and grace, he saved me. He gave me a chance, and I took it. Wow, look at that guy over there. He used to be, wow, look at this person. He used to be." All of us are going to just be giving God honor and praise because he saved us when we called upon him. And no matter what we did on this earth, the record of our sin is going to be completely wiped because the blood forgave you and the blood cleansed you. And so for all eternity, you and I are going to be essentially the trophies of God displayed throughout ever and ever to let everyone know that is up there in heaven, here's how good this God is. Here's how merciful he's been to us sinners. He saved us. We are here. We made it. And for the rest of eternity, he is just going to be reminding you of how good he was towards you. So friend, if for all eternity, that is what's going to be your understanding between you and your maker every time you walk by him and you fellowship with him and what we're doing and serving him for the rest of eternity, how should you be living your life for him right now? You should be striving to do your best for him because he's the one who died for you. He's the one who rose again from the dead for you. Not your spouse, not your pastor, not a church tradition, the man Christ Jesus. And so that's why he compels you to be obedient to his commands, because he has promised you all these things that he will do for you. So the next time we think to entertain the flesh by saying, "I don't feel like it," or "I don't want to," try your best to remind yourself, "It's just my flesh. I have a deep desire within me to do right." Ask God to give you the strength to do it, and then do it. And then keep doing it and do more of it. And watch how you're going to continue to grow. And watch how you're going to continue to mature. And then watch how you're going to continue to get stronger spiritually. So just like Christ said, when you are building upon the foundation of his word, because you're not just being a hearer only, but you're being a hearer and a doer, the next time difficulties come in your life, you're not going to be shaken. You're going to stand firm as God promised, because you're building your life upon the rock. But tonight, after all of our Bible study, the next time you go back home in your free will and you do whatever you want between you and God, your maker, he knows what you're doing in secret, and you're just hearing only, Don't be surprised when you fall the next time something happens to you, or don't be surprised why you gave in too quick to the flesh because of a trial or a temptation, because you're failing to just let him be more worthy than that feeling for the moment. You're not letting Christ be the Lord, like Brother Felipe read, by just not doing what the things that he commanded you to do. And so today, if you want the victory, it starts with obedience to the Word of God. Bottom line, you can confess all day long. You can come to church and dress with a suit and put on a dress. But if your heart does not want to obey the Word of God, that's what's going to knock you off when that thing comes. So today, friend, it's the Word of God. That's going to be the power source. Amen. All right, friends, anybody have any questions, comments before we come to a close? Questions, comments about the church, the building of it, having to be built upon it, that is our faith, our mind being discipled on all the New Testament doctrine, the requirement there, the witnesses that we talked about earlier in our notes. Anybody have any questions or comments before we close tonight? Anybody, questions, comments? Anyone out there? No questions, no comments. Okay. Well, before we close in prayer, friendly reminder, tomorrow, 10 o'clock, if you can soul win with us, please do. Try your best to make yourself available. 10 to 12, door knocking, take a break, go downtown from 12 to about 1:32, and then we'll call it a day for souling. I mean, it should be a blessing to see more of y'all out there. All right, Brother Felipe, can you close out in prayer, please? Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Oh, can you help me?